Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchik, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. This is James Kernan with Kernan Consulting, and I'm here with my good friend, a.k.a. the Yacht Master, Amy Babinchik. Hey, Amy, welcome back.
Welcome. I'm not back. I'm out here at anchor off of a remote island in the North Channel of Canada off of Lake Huron. So, I mean, floating in Canadian waters as we speak, coming to you via Starlink. And the Starlink has been both wonderful and also frustrating. As it turns out, you have to point the thing exactly north. And as a sailboat on anchor likes to sort of swing back and forth.
Right.
And so does my signal. And so I warned James, if I drop during the recording of this podcast, I'll be right back. I have to go turn the Starlink, reconnect again. That's been a little bit of a pain, but I enjoy the connectivity and the opportunity to do this kind of thing while I'm also hanging out of my boat.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. I guess that's what I meant by welcome back to reality. And by the way, just in case you don't know, it's Monday.
Oh, Monday. Yeah. thanks for that. Thanks for that reminder. Yeah, it's a good vacation when you forget what day it is.
Exactly. Well, good to see you. Glad your trip is going well, and thanks for joining us. So hey, let's get started. There are a lot of things going on we wanted to talk about. The first one was the MSP question of the week. Okay, so MSP question of the week, and the question of the week that came in is, what do you think about text marketing campaigns? What do you think about text marketing campaigns for your business?
You know what I think? I think about text marketing campaigns is actually probably not about any of our listeners' business, but the companies that are using them are financing companies. I get so many texts, probably two a day, 10 a week or so. And they're writing to let me know of the amazing deal that they have, where they want to loan my business money. And I'm so annoyed by those.
Yeah.
I am so annoyed. So I have to think that if you are doing cold messaging via text, the person's going to find it to be annoying.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I do get some text messages also from companies that I've purchased stuff from, and I'm not sure if I need them, right? I get messages from Teva because I bought some new sandals, and I guess they want me to start a collection of new Teva sandals. So they ping me every day until I finally got unsubscribed from that. It was like, yeah. It's too much. It's way too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I do not like people texting me if it's a cold text. If I, if I get a text, you better be in my contacts and we better be good friends or a customer, or I'm going to block you. And, you get all sorts of scams on texting. So I'm with you. I get annoyed very quickly. And they didn't specify, cold campaign or, warm campaign. It just was more of a general comment. I would say do not do text marketing. Text marketing, I think, is bad for a business. What I would look at is email marketing, telemarketing, there's a variety of things in different geographies that seem to be working a lot better than other ones. Networking events, webinars. I've got a couple clients that are going to that are doing a webinar series on AI. I think that's a good topic. So those
is
are things
possible,
that be better.
Do you think it's possible to do text marketing well? And so what I'm thinking is, do we want to just say blanket no to text marketing, or is there something we can do with it? And if I think about it, there are some texts I get that are useful, mm-hmm. right? So I get code red text messages, and code red sends out the weather alerts. So if there's a nationally, you know, posted weather alert for my area, severe thunderstorm, tornado, whatever, they send that out to me via text, and I find that useful.
Well, I think that's more of a safety thing, and I'm with you. I get the same things. I like those. You know, if I'm in harm's way, I want to know about it right away. But, you know, if somebody wants to set up a meeting and do business with me, you know, I always defer them, like, hey, why don't you call my office on Monday? Or here's my email. You know, we can email each other back and forth, or just communicate through social media. I actually get offended by it. I don't like it at all. So,
well, MailChimp is giving away a certain number of SMS messages with your subscription. So maybe that's where this is coming from, because I've looked at that as well and thought, well, you know, it's a small number. It's like 50. And I'm like, well, what could I do with those 50 text messages? I haven't come up with a use yet. But, you know, one of the other things that I get that's useful is I actually get a link to a boating newsletter that I subscribe to. And when the new newsletter comes out, they text a link to it. So I could see where maybe as an MSP, you could do something like that. Hey, you know, our new newsletter is out. Here's a link to it. If you don't want to subscribe to those texts anymore, of course, be sure you put an unsubscribe in there.
Right.
And if you're doing it through MailChimp, they're going to mandate that. They're very good at helping you stay legal and clean on that. And then also perhaps maybe that alert idea might also be useful for an MSP, right? Maybe a breaking news trend, or you know something like that. Perhaps you could do with marketing, so more nurturing your existing client base rather than actually,
cold
marketing.
It's an interesting idea. I always thought, you know, text marketing would be more on the consumer level, you know, B2C, that mm-hmm. you know, a bank notification or something, you know, a weather alert, you know, those are normal. I guess the only time I could think of like a text campaign would be like with a very small database. It's got to be existing customers, people that know you, and maybe that's the only contact info you've got. You know, I would send out a text in that regard, but I would be short and sweet, like a one line, you know, hey, this is James Kernan with Kernan Consulting, you know, just checking in, how are things going? You know, or is there anything I can help you with? Just something short and sweet, one sentence. I wouldn't do a three paragraph memorandum on a campaign. I'd stay away from that for sure.
Yeah, I might try to use it as an education tool, you know, and say, keep an eye out for this type of text scam or this type of email scam or something, and maybe do a little educational thing that can be really short and sweet, maybe with a link to read more about that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, you're kind of making me think a little deeper about this, because I was very opinionated at first. There's a campaign that I call the real-time security alert. And it's something we do inside the mastermind, a lot of our members. And the general idea is, you know, you create a like a security bulletin that, and you get it all ready to go. You create a template in one of your mail programs that you could send out to your list. And it's like some horrible ransomware attack or some virus or something that you need to be aware of and communicate to your customers and your prospects. Mm-hmm. So it's designed for outbound marketing, but you've got to kind of cut and paste the content, put it in your alert template, but you need to send it out within 24 hours of this announcement. Now, Microsoft has got subscriptions for security alerts. I think MSSPalert.com, if I remember that right, is another site that will send out real-time security alerts. And you could maybe do that instead of emailing it, you could maybe do it to a text list. And I hadn't thought of that, but you know, like a text just is like immediate, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, hey, this is something I need to look at right away. And it needs to be educational or super important, you know, security wise, you know, you don't want a general message, I wouldn't think. but
I wouldn't think so either. And yeah, I would use it very sparingly. But, you know, if you have that MailChimp account and you've got a few SMS messages you could send each month, makes sense to use them. I just think I would use them more in an alert sense or important information rather than as an actual marketing tool.
Yeah. There's lots of other ways to market social media and so forth. So, all right, good question. So, hey, if you've got a question like that, or you want Amy and James to talk about any of this, we'd love to hear from you. So send in your questions to james@kernanconsulting.com. We're happy to ask them live on the program. So a couple industry events going on here. Wanted to get caught up on one. There's another attack out there. This time Microsoft confirms active attacks against SharePoint servers, and they rolled out emergency patches. What did you hear about that?
You know, they're only attacking on-premises servers.
Yep.
Specifically, you know, they also have to be public facing. So, you know, it's a particular use case. But why those on-premises servers? It's because the criminals have learned that if the server is on-premises, it's not being updated as often as the cloud servers are. So that's their easy to attack. It's similar to the Hafnium attack that happened, oh gosh, probably 10 years ago on SharePoint. And the resolution to it is similar, right? There's a patch that needs to be, an emergency patch that needs to be applied to those servers. So if you have any on-premises SharePoint public-facing servers, make sure you get that patch right away. It's available right now.
Okay. Good to know. And again, congratulations on your MVP status with Microsoft. I think that just came out again.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's my 20th year, so kind of big milestone, and it pleases me because it's a retrospective award where Microsoft recognizes people that are active in the community, willing to share their technical expertise. And so it's a nice feeling, you know, being in communities has always been really important to me. So it's nice to have Microsoft recognize that.
Yeah. If you get big plaques, like I've seen in the past, you're probably running out of wall space. So that's why they moved on to the bike. Now I get it. Now I know what's up. All right. Well, hey, congratulations again. That's quite an achievement. 20 years in a row. Okay. So a couple other things in the news. Ingram Micro. So a couple programs ago, we talked about that ransomware attack, and it looked like, I think originally I stated it was on July 5th. It was the weekend of the 4th of July, which was, I think the 4th of July was a Friday. So the 3rd of July was when it actually happened. So that Thursday, they had an attack. They went public on Saturday, July 5th. And then there was another article that that I was reading into it. It didn't really go into more, you know, just kind of more of the same, but it did adversely affect operations for over a week. Did bother, you know, or I think there was something with SafePay.
That's the company that claimed responsibility for that.
Okay. I don't know if that was a third party vendor of theirs or Link or whatever, but anyway, it was, and then it's kind of been quiet really ever since the 10th. So just wanted to highlight that. I actually talked to several of my clients that do business with Ingram, and they weren't affected at all. So.
I know Ingram took their systems offline as to help prevent the spread. And it turns out, to be a pretty smart move. I think it was mainly targeted at their backend systems rather than their client facing ones. So they were able to contain it, but it's been very quiet. I think when we talked about it before, we talked about, you know, how well CrowdStrike did in the public relations with theirs. Ingram took a completely different tack in that they shut down their client-facing servers over a holiday weekend. And then by the end of the holiday weekend, they were able to turn them back up and then just sort of don't mention it. Like, nothing to see here. Nothing happened. Even though, you know, according to SafePay, the folks that claimed, they said, you know, they've got all their customers' information. They've got all the credit card information. They've got all the customer history. But Ingram isn't saying anything about that.
Yeah, well, maybe that makes more sense now, looking at it from that perspective. They're still trying to figure out what to do and how to protect people. But yeah, it's been eerily quiet. That's why I wanted to bring it back up again. I thought that was interesting. So, and then one of your favorite vendors, Apple, is back in the news. They were talking about their iPhone lineup, which is several new iPhones are coming out. They're rolling them out, it looks like, in the beginning of 2026. But they're really banking on that foldable technology. It looked like there were several of these, the new ones that that all have the foldable function. What are your thoughts on the foldable technology? I mean, it doesn't excite me very much.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't excite me either. Samsung has had their foldables out for a long time. They're kind of cool looking, but I question the functionality. And I'm kind of say that out of two sides of my face, because I have noticed that over time, I'm much more heavy phone user today than ever, right? It has truly become the tiny computer in my hand. I find myself doing a lot of my work there. So maybe I would enjoy that foldable experience more than I think I would, right? Just to have a slightly larger screen. Because I really don't make any phone calls on my phone anymore, hardly ever.
Interesting. Yeah, well, we'll see how that plays out. I mean, Apple's done extremely well when they're with the iPhone lineup. So we'll see if this moves the needle for them.
Well, they're looking for something new, and all the phone companies are always looking for something to push the price up higher, which, you know, I kind of feel like cell phones have maxed out on price personally.
Yeah.
Well, they're expensive.
They're very expensive. I was going to say, I sure hope so. It seems, you know, the good ones are all over, well over $1,000, and
right.
You know, regardless of whatever special or what trade in or whatever, you know, just the sales tax on those things are ridiculous. So,
And that's true of Androids as well as Apples, right? The Android used to be the low cost option, but they have worked on pushing those prices up too.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, I don't know if this is old news or new news. But new news that had broke probably a week plus ago was Robin Robbins' organization, Technology Marketing Toolkit, was officially acquired by Kaseya. Now, I think rumors had been going around for well over a year that had gone down, but it never was public. And I remember I was on a peer group call. It was kind of funny. And somebody said, "Hey, did you hear about this?" And a couple people said, yeah, you know, but yeah, there's nothing in the media. And he said, "Why don't you type into Google Robin Robbins' corporate address?" And the corporate address came up, I think, to a Connecticut address that belonged to Kaseya. So this was a year ago when I remember being on that call, and we all kind of laughed and said, "Well, it'll get announced sooner than later." So it must have been some milestone deal that they did something behind the scenes and enough time had to go by or things had to happen before they went public.
I feel like it was 2 years ago.
No, well, it could have been. It felt like it was forever.
Yeah, it's been a while. And so, you know, so when the news broke, I was really surprised to see how many MSPs had not be privy to that previous news break. It sort of went through the community, right? And that's what happens if you're not community connected. You miss out. You miss out on those certain things. And, you know, they were like, oh, no, there goes another one to you know, the big K. And like, you know, it's already been there. It's been there for a while now. So they're just admitting to it, you know. Yeah. So I guess now we wait and see actually what the changes are. Right? Yeah. Maybe they'll, at this point is when they're going to start making some changes, and that's why they needed to make the announcement.
Yeah. Interesting move. But, you know, like you just said, I think people have known about it, and I think it happened a long time ago. So yeah. We'll see how that all plays out. I love the picture though. It kind of reminded me of you. It was a picture of Robin's back. It looked like she was on a yacht, kind of looking out over the ocean. So, you know, congratulations, Robin, and good luck to you.
Yeah.
And then we've got ChannelCon coming up next week. I think you'll still be floating around the Great Lakes there, but I'm headed off to Nashville to do some networking and learn out at ChannelCon. So I'm looking forward to that next week.
Yeah. I always did enjoy the ChannelCon. Boy, if you ever are looking to connect with a vendor, to me, that's the event to go to.
Right.
Because I did notice that unlike a lot of other conferences at ChannelCon, the bigwigs of the companies that are on display are actually there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what sets it apart. In my mind, you know, if you really want to get to know some people who at some of your vendors or get some of your issues pushed forward, that's the event to do it. And if you're a member of GITCA, called GITA. Yeah, they it's free to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Where's it at in that? Where's it at in Nashville? Is it at the one with the ducks that walk in?
It's not. I think that was the Peabody, but it's the Grand Ole Opry. So it's.
Oh, okay.
One of the big convention halls, and ChannelCon always throws on a great event. But you bring up a really, really good point. That's exactly why I'm going, is to meet with several of my strategic vendor partners, and then. Mm-hmm. Really to learn about new ones, you know, a lot of new ones will be there for sure. And jokingly, I think last year I said, I think there's more vendors here than MSPs. It had to be.
Oh, there will be.
Yeah.
There will be.
Manufacturing. Yeah,
there will be. And that's actually a reason why as an MSP you should go.
Yeah.
Because they want to talk to you. They actually really do. And you will be one of few, which means that you just won't be number 5,602 that passed by their booth. Right. You'll be one of a few hundred. And they do want to talk to you. It's great. I think that conference is a great opportunity.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm looking forward to that. It's July 29th through the 31st. So out in Nashville. So, and I think there's some free passes out there. If anybody's looking for any info, just email me, james@kernanconsulting.com. Some of the partners have some free pass links that I could forward along, but mm-hmm. love to hear from you. Just make sure it's before the event. So I think that's about it. I wanted to bring up the ChannelCon event. And then again, we just friendly reminder, we'd love to hear from you. So if you've got a question of the week you want Amy and I to discuss or to battle back and forth on, email me at james@kernanconsulting.com. We'd love to hear from you. Amy, anything else?
One small thing, James. I saw a top 10 list of cities where the jobs are happening.
Okay.
And one of them is in Michigan near me, and it was number one, and number 10 was Omaha.
Oh, interesting.
That's not too shabby. Top 10.
We're making the news.
Yeah.
We thought it was a well-kept secret. And along those lines, there was a good friend of mine from Southern California had contacted me and just, family friends for a long time. I lived in California for over 25 years. Been in Nebraska now for almost 10. I can't believe it's been that long. But they just said, hey, I'm done with California. Taxes are outrageous. I can't handle it anymore. They read an article, and the one of the top 10 places to move to was Omaha, Nebraska. So they're coming to visit to go house hunting here next month. So good for Nebraska.
Good for Nebraska. Good for Michigan. We were number one on that list. So that was pretty awesome. And I'll say your friends should also come to Michigan. It's a little less dry here.
We have
great boating opportunities. And our weather is slightly less extreme. I mean, you guys have some really extreme weather down there in Omaha.
Yeah, we do. I always explain it gets too cold in the winter and too hot in the summer, and we're hitting that hot spell. We're going to get up to the humidity's up close to 100, and we're going to get up to 97 on Wednesday. So it's a hot week.
Yes.
Hot week.
Yeah. All right. Well, two great places to move to if you're considering it, Nebraska and Michigan. Top 10 in the U.S., so top 10 cities for jobs and small business opportunities. So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Great news.
All right. Will you be safe out there on the big yacht battling those giant waves out there? You be safe, enjoy, and we'll see everybody back next week on the SMB Community Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.